Will economic pressure determine the fate of Libya?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. We are 6 weeks into the fighting in Libya, and President Obama has just written an op-ed standing firm on the mission to oust Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. But even U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said it's going to be political and economic pressure that eventually leads to Gaddafi's ouster. For more on the economic side of things, we're going to talk now with the former British ambassador to Libya, Sir Richard Dalton. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are the economic pressures at this point, and how serious are they for Gaddafi?
Inability to sell their oil, collapse of the labor market. There is money in Tripoli, but they are going increasingly, as the months go by, to live from hand to mouth.
Is there economic pressure on the rebels as well? In other words, is there a chance that countries around the world are going to get impatient with this sort of stalemate that's going on and go back to doing deals with Gaddafi?
I don't think that's likely for the next few months. There would be a serious international backlash. The East is gradually resuming economic activity.
I saw that the group of five nations called the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, these emerging economies, just said that the use of force should be avoided in Libya. What's that all about?
Well, that's about marking a separate position from the coalition, but without going so far as to antagonize the powerful countries represented at the United Nations and in the coalition.
But why do they want to have a separate position?
They want to play it both ways. So whether Gaddafi stays or there is a victory for democratic forces, they want to be able to say that they had a part in it. So they don't want to commit themselves too strongly to any one course of action at present.
They want to be able to do deals with whoever ends up being in power in Libya.
Yes, I mean, that's true for everybody because Libyan oil is important in the long run. And Libya, as a prosperous country in North Africa, although a country only with a population only of about 7 million, is a significant medium-scale trade partner for many countries on both sides of the Atlantic.
Sir Richard Dalton, former British ambassador to Libya, former head of the British Libyan Business Council, and now with the Chatham House think tank. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, the head of the Federal Aviation Administration's air traffic division has resigned after the storm over controllers sleeping on the job. As Marketplace's Janet Babin reports, new air traffic controllers are going to be hard to find, even in this economy.
It may be news to us that air traffic controllers sleep on the job, but industry insiders say it happens all the time.
We have an endemic system where the graveyard shift is a sleep shift across the nation.
That's aviation consultant Michael Boyd. Controllers often work double shifts and a mix of days and nights. The FAA has ordered air traffic towers to put two controllers on the overnight shift, but finding enough staff could be a challenge. Aviation consultant Michael Goldfarb says a wave of controllers is retiring and there aren't enough new recruits.
It takes 3 to 4 years to get a competent controller trained, and the FAA is suffering from an attrition of controllers and from a lack of adequate emphasis on fully staffing the facilities.
The agency says it wants to hire thousands of new controllers by 2017. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning after more news of inflation in China. Consumer prices there jumped another 5.4% over a year ago. China has already boosted interest rates 4 times in the last 6 months to cool inflation. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 14 points to close at 12,285.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Today is the day thousands of retailers in Illinois had been dreading. That's because they'll lose their affiliation with online retailers like Amazon and Overstock.com thanks to a new state sales tax for online purchases. But as Tony Arnold reports from Chicago Public Radio, Amazon and others have already found a way around the tax.
Brad Wilson runs the aptly named bradsdeals.com, a coupon website based in downtown Chicago.
Ultimately, Amazon and Overstock hold the trump card in this situation.
Wilson says after today, Amazon will boycott business with Brad's Deals and roughly 9,000 other retailers in Illinois to skirt the tax. Illinois residents can still go online and get the latest bestseller from Amazon. They just won't be getting that book from any Amazon affiliate in Illinois.
We're looking at a lot of options that I wouldn't want to have ever had to think of, unfortunately.
Wilson says he's considering picking up shop and relocating to another state to make up for the money he'll lose. He wouldn't say how much. One Amazon affiliate, FatWallet.com, has already moved its headquarters from Illinois to Wisconsin, which doesn't have the online tax. Amazon did not respond to requests for comment. Meantime, Overstock.com's president, Jonathan Johnson, confirmed his company plans to cut off Illinois affiliates on May 1st. Others, like Zappos and Shoes.com, are planning a similar move. David Veit is with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. He says the Amazons and Overstocks are shirking their responsibility to communities by ducking the sales tax.
Unfortunately, Amazon has chosen to ignore the laws of the states in which it does business, and that is putting brick-and-mortar retailers at a competitive disadvantage.
Veit estimates Illinois could gain an extra $130 million a year from the new sales tax, while Brad Wilson from bradsdeals.com says Illinois could lose more money from businesses fleeing the state. Meantime, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin plans to introduce a bill to require online retailers to pay state sales tax. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, turns out the debit card idea has been around a lot longer than we thought. Archaeologists in Germany have discovered a 453-year-old wooden tally stick. It's got little nicks in it that were used to keep track of debts. No word on whether you had to pay a few extra gold coins if you used this stick at an out-of-network ATM. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Earthquake, tsunami, economy.
Even before the earthquake, prices were falling because of the competition from China. Now we're even less sure about what will happen to our company.
I'm Kai Rizdal, because Japan just doesn't have enough to worry about. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.